Okay, it's October 24th, 2022. It is 13:52 hours. I've had about 5 hours sleep or something. I'm sleeping long stretches, more so than I was. That's like two nights in a row I had 5 hours uninterrupted 5 hours. And the other thing is I'm not needing more sleep than 5 hours, which is really amazing. I'm sure part of it is because of good nutrition, but there's always more to learn about that. But anyway, for me it's morning time. I just woke up. I want to get this done because my package has arrived for the nutrition, which was the gum I ordered, which is xylitol gum, and also I'm hoping it's the kale and clay. Because that's pretty exciting. Because if I get the clay, I think that's all I need now. I can actually make foot powder. Even though it's not urgent, I've got a lot still remaining because I'm not using any foot powder. It's so little that I'm using. Anyway, this morning I want to share this. It's called J'attendrai. That's Richard Smith. Yosho Stefan. Thank you. Wow. I mean, guitarists. That's it. Yep, okay. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And it's the song that's really the superstar in this particular case. It's a great song. And it's made even greater by these amazing guitar players. Richard Smith is not visible in the frame. And he was playing his guitar while, and Yosha Stefan is the one we're seeing here. This is live in Germany, YouTube channel. It's one of Yosha's own channels. Like, Yosha has a channel called Yosha Stefan, and he has a channel called Gypsy Jazz Lessons. I think they're both, I know he has a channel for lessons, so I believe this is his channel for the Gypsy Jazz Lessons. If I'm not mistaken, it's his channel. And also, I believe this is recorded by one of his family. That's why it's focusing on him alone and not on anyone else in the band. Although, fortunately, we see the bass player, because you get a sense of, if you want to watch the bass player, you get to see that. But it's just a great... this is one of my favorite songs on this whole... track here on this whole reel, or whatever we're going to call it, like this whole video on this whole, well, look, it's an hour and 50 minutes. It's a long thing. And there's a lot of great music in this video, live in Germany. So that was a great way to start the day, I must say. Look, I've been looking at plasma cutters, plasma cutting tables. I've been looking at that. But anyway, I don't think I'm going to build one necessarily, but or buy one, although you can buy them for fairly cheap, but I don't think we should cut over top of a table because it's going to destroy the table. I mean, ultimately, sooner or later, it will destroy the table because the plasma arc will actually go through what you're cutting and it will hit the table. And I haven't figured out how to prevent that. So that means you're going to have to replace these pieces of steel that are inside the table, the slats or whatever. And that's a ridiculous thing. I mean, there's each one of those slats might cost you $50 or something. It's kind of crazy. Probably not that much, but they're not cheap. I mean, they're not $50. It's $50 for a sheet that's kind of like 6 by 12 inches might even be $50. I don't know how much, if it's quarter inch thick, but they're, okay, eighth inch thick. One, a slat that's like 2 inches by, or 1 inch, or, well, 1.5 inches by 20 inches long, or even 18 inches long, 24 inches long, whatever they are. That might cost, well, maybe, I don't even know what that costs. $10 maybe? I mean, it's not cheap. But it's a lot of money. Like, if you had to replace a bunch of these slats, I guess you wouldn't replace them all that often, so maybe it's not as expensive as it sounds. But even finding a supplier for steel is not easy. Like, and then they want to charge you $1 million for, I mean, obviously it's a lot of money for delivery. Like, but it's, I was pricing delivery of two pieces of steel that I'd priced on the same website for $193. 3/16 thick by 24 by 20 inches, 20 and a quarter inches or whatever, but it's the same price no matter 20 or 20 and a quarter. But 20 by 24 inches by 3/16 thick, two of these pieces, $193. Shipping? How much was shipping again? 100 and something, I think, to ship it. It's absurd. It was absolutely absurd. And then I went to Princess Auto. Princess Auto is a great website for a lot of these things. You can buy steel sheets there, or plate, you know, like you can buy stuff at Princess that you can't get anywhere else. But, and I don't know how much I paid for the shipping for the other stuff I got at Princess, because I bought the angle iron there and I bought the 20 gauge and the 16 gauge 2x4 feet sheets of steel, weldable steel, not galvanized, you know, weldable, mild steel. Can't be galvanized if you're going to weld it. So anyway, I don't know what, I think they were like $30 or $40 or $50 for these 20 gauge or 16 gauge, like they, you know, $30 to $50 just for the, but that's 2 feet by 4 feet. That's a nice big sheet of, that's a sheet of steel, right? If you get thicker, if you get up to quarter inch, around a quarter inch, it's going to be called plate steel. At some point, it starts to be called plate instead of sheet. But I'm not sure if the boundary line between sheet and plate is well defined. But somewhere around a quarter inch, maybe. It's a quarter inch according to somebody. I don't know what it is according to, you know, God, you know, the ultimate authority on sheet and plate steel. I don't know what the ultimate. There's no real dividing line, I guess, but it's. Anyway, am I digressing? What was I saying? The shipping costs. I don't know what I paid for the shipping on all this stuff I bought. But I don't think I'm going to be big into welding, so I don't need to build too much stuff, but. But what I did, what I bought, what I ended up ordering, because I was looking at Princess welding tables, right? And so I finally, the one that was $200 went on sale, but it was the wrong height. If I want to use it in conjunction with my workbench, it was the wrong height. Too low. I wanted something 36 inches. So, And the one they had for 36, it was supposed to be on sale starting today, did not go on sale. So, at least not then. Maybe it is now. In fact, they said it was going to be on sale starting today. But then, as soon as this day arrived, they said out of stock. So, instead of saying, it's going to be on sale starting today, which is what they were saying. It changed from that to out of stock, which is completely the opposite, and it's, you know, unexpected. It was unexpected, and it was bad, right? It's bad when they say one thing and then they do another. Anyway, so sometimes, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't say one thing and do another. So sometimes you have to, but it's not good. It's not a good thing, obviously. Nobody really wants to see that, I don't think, where you're saying one thing but doing another. We want to see that when someone says something is coming on sale, that it actually comes on sale exactly when they said it was going to come on sale, exactly as scheduled, etc. Anyway, so I couldn't buy that table, the one that was 36, but it was galvanized anyway, so I guess I didn't want that one anyway. Because I don't want to, the problem with galvanized is if you ever do heat it up too hot, it releases really toxic fumes. So as a welding table, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So anyway, what I ended up, well, make a long story short, is what I'm trying to do here, but I'm not succeeding very well. This, but that's okay. We're going to be in plenty of time to get everything done today, I think. But it's a great day today. It looks like it's going to be great weather. It's just still too warm out to do any major work, but I'll be working anyway, probably. I'm going out today to pick up a package and so on, and go shop while I'm out to get a bit of food, and then maybe I'll cut the lawn even and use up the gas in the lawnmower while I'm at it and winterize that lawnmower. That's what I want to do today if I can. But coming back to the welding tables, I really wanted to get a welding table, so I almost bought two of these. So I priced out two of these $200 tables, which was a really good deal, but they were the wrong height. But still, I priced them out. So $400 plus shipping, and the shipping was like $190. $190 for shipping. So it was six. There was a discount or something. It was six. How is that a discount? Wait a minute. No, it was more than that. It was $630. I guess tax. Yeah, it was $630. So there is a discount sometimes in the shipping, but it was $630 total. Whatever the discount was, wasn't too much because it still ended up being over $600, including tax and shipping. Right, $600 for two $200 tables. Right. And I couldn't do that. I would have done it if I could figure out how to fit it in my shop, but I couldn't. I went down, I looked, I couldn't see any place I can put that in my shop. There's no room. Honestly, couldn't put it there because they weigh like 70 pounds each. 77, 80 pounds almost. So it's not easy to lift them. But if I want to drag them around the shop, it's not that easy, right? And they don't have wheels on them. Two tables like that I couldn't move around easily, doesn't make sense. So no, I had to say no, I'm not going to buy that. I didn't tell anyone else. I told myself no, I'm not buying. I just can't do it. I can't do it, right? I just couldn't pull the trigger on that. So what I did was, I finally realized, well, I knew there was a product. I'd seen it many, many months ago, or a while, you know, I don't know how many weeks ago. Or how many months, but no, I wouldn't. I guess it's not many months. It's many something, many weeks maybe. I'd seen this product. It's a DeWalt welding table, and it's not even listed on DeWalt's website. I don't understand where it is, how it can be a DeWalt item, but it's on the U.S. Amazon as well, or it's on somewhere in the States where I couldn't get it in Canada, but maybe it's Home Depot. I'm trying to think. Yeah, it might have been Home Depot. They had somewhere in the States that didn't have the Canadian website version of the website, that is. Canadian version didn't have it, but and it wasn't going to be cheap there. It wasn't going to be any cheaper than Amazon, but Amazon was $430 or something for one of these tables. But they're, it's the right height. It's 36 inches high at maximum. Sounds like it's the right height. Now, I know it's not going to be probably exactly the height that they're saying either necessarily, but so I'm not going to rely on the height. It's just that it's close to the right height. It's exactly the right height, but that's just what they're saying it is. So maybe I can make it work if I want to add any height or any extent to my table by attaching it to my workbench somehow. There's a little place under my workbench that's the frame of the workbench is exactly 36, so I can go between the workbench top and the frame is exactly the place I could put my additional extenders if I want to extend these workbenches. But that's just hypothetical. I may never do that because I'd have to order the steel, and to order the steel, it costs $100 to ship it, or $200, whatever it is, ridiculous amount of money to ship the steel from the place that cuts it for me. There's a place that you can order it. It's called Metal, what's it called? Metal Supply, I forget what it's called. Metal Market or something, or and they do the custom cutting for you, but they charge. I guess I'm not even. I don't even want to remember their name because it's. I can't pay the shipping. It's too much shipping. Now maybe I could pick it up, could I, from there? But I don't want to drive around picking stuff up either. That's not. I need to find a supplier that can ship it. I think it's what I really need to do. I can't be driving around picking stuff up all the time. It doesn't make sense, but partly because my car is, 20 years old almost, and has some issues. I mean, maybe there's nothing wrong with my car, but I don't. It actually isn't much wrong with it, maybe. But you never know what's going to happen. So I don't really want to use my car for these long distance treks. Meaning, more than 1 mile kind of thing. I don't want to be driving my car any more than to the grocery store. A mile, approximately a mile. That's what I want to use my car for. Which is just, my other car though, that's different. It seems like it's my summer car. I can, so in the summer I can go and pick things up maybe. See, I can work it out. I can figure it out. Like in the winter, I don't really want to be jaunting around, all the salt on the roads, etc., etc. Anyway. So my van, it's what I'm driving now. It's the one that has the electrical issues that are questionable. But when the alternator's running, when the car's running and the alternator's running, it's working. It's fine. Otherwise, it's not right. It's not good. It's draining the battery. So what was I going to say? I mean, I could look for the problem too and try to find it, but it's not. It's one of those things that could be a wild goose chase kind of thing, especially with an older car. So what I thought was these benches, I ordered two of them. They're $400 each, but that's like $960 with tax for two of these DeWalt benches. That's what I ended up doing, which is, and because I'd priced all the other stuff, $1,000 for two welding benches. They're not just for welding either. Like they're welding benches. The holes in them are the wrong size for the standard welding clamps and things. Apparently they're not even 3/4. They're the wrong size for 3/4-inch clamps even. The diameter of the holes is bigger than 3/4. So it's the wrong kind of. But the fact that it has holes means you can probably get a clamp through, feed a clamp if you have the right kind of clamp. You might be able to, rotate a clamp, like put one end of the clamp through and then feed it up and around through the hole, and then use the clamp on the table. You can probably figure a way to use clamps on the table. And you can certainly clamp on the edges of the table because it's only 18 inches wide. The ends and the edges, you can clamp, put your clamps on there. So there's ways of using it with clamps. And I've got maybe four, what is it, four, eight. Eight. The most clamps I have that are solid steel are eight, I think. Eight, that some of which might be in use already in various places in my house. I don't know, but I don't think any of them. any of those are in use, but there's, I have possibly eight anyway, should have eight of these solid metal clamps. I can get more too, but they're not very cheap. They're not terribly expensive either. Just a C clamp, a standard C clamp I can use. I'll be looking for clamps now for welding tables, but I'll be looking for them, but they're not going to work because they're not the right size hole. So yeah, I'd have to make for each of these holes. For any hole I wanted to use, I'd have to make a shim or a collar, like a thing that fit in the hole, perfectly fit in this hole or close to perfect, and then the inside diameter of the thing, of this collar that I put in, has to be the right diameter for the clamp I'm using. And there's no way to do that because these are not standard diameter holes. You can't buy the collars for them, I don't think. You can't buy these spacers to put in the holes. That's what one of the reviews said, the guy who reviewed it. But the guy who said that also likes the tables. You know, he's still using them because he made his own spacers for these holes, I guess. But I don't have a lathe. I can't turn diameters. That's something I could get as a lathe, but I'm not really interested very much in that. We all have kind of, at least this is what I feel, we all have our own, you know, niche that we occupy. Like, I don't try to do everything in woodworking, and I don't try to do everything in metalworking. I don't try to do everything in any discipline. You know, I have my own way of working that is very specific based on my things I've done, you know, the things I've done in the past. But these workbenches, the thing is, because I have two of them, I can put them next to each other. Even though the legs stick out further than the tabletop, because they're angled legs, I can't put them right against each other unless I stagger them. But if I stagger them, they can probably go flat against, straight against each other. But I can also put them a few inches apart, and that way I can use them for plasma cutting. I can cut with the plasma cutter in the gap between the tables. And they're 18 inches wide, which means I can put two of them between my workbench. So those two 18-inch widths can fit between my workbench and my bandsaw. So I can put them right there, right near my main workbench, which is going to be higher. It'll be higher by about 3 inches. So it's 39 high. That's right. The frame of the workbench is exactly 36. So it's not like this was easy, this purchase. It was extremely long and drawn out with a lot of research and a lot of painstaking, like a lot of taking of pains in trying to justify, not just the money, trying to justify, how can I use these in my shop? Well, yeah, but these things fold up. That's the other thing. They fold up, and and they also go down to about an 8-inch height. The legs fold up, and these tables, you can put them on top of the workbench. I could put them on top of my workbench if I wanted to. They'd be 8 inches higher, though. That would make it 47 inches high. But that's an option. It can be done. You can lay them on top of the workbench because you can fold the legs up. But I wouldn't do welding on that because the welding stuff would fall down, and then, you know, it might catch fire or not scald, but what do you say? Burn holes, you know, char, make black marks on my workbench, and I can't do anything because it's underneath. It would be underneath the, you know, wouldn't be able to stop it from burning, singeing, I guess is the word, my workbench. So don't really want to do it on top of my main workbench. But it's an option. If I weren't doing welding, I could use these tables on top of the workbench if I needed a very sturdy surface like that. I could do it. I could clamp them on or somehow, or even just lay them on, you know. These things just, they'd be sliding around on there. But I could put them on the floor as well, 8 inches off the floor. Or, you know, I could build another structure upon which to put these 8-inch things. It's amazing. All the options I have with these tables. And the other thing was that they had massively glowing reviews. Like, this is one of the highest rated products on Amazon. It's not a bad product according to the reviews, and that's huge. It's not a guarantee. It's just a huge, you know, nearly a guarantee. It's like it's a huge indicator. It's huge. It's giant. So that was one of the, you know, biggest, most enormous factors was how good the reviews were on that product. And, well, even if I only had one of those, I could do a lot, probably. So if one of them ever goes bad on me or has a problem, I've got parts for the other one, maybe. Or, you know, so buying two of them is better in that way. But also I can maybe use them both as one big tabletop. It'll be roughly 4 feet by 3 feet, which is big. It's a big table. It's a big table, right? It's a huge table, in a sense, for doing welding on. And if I link them together somehow, which I could probably do with some kind of spacer in between and clamping them together or something, you know, there's ways of joining them together. But plus, I've got a welding machine. I can do welding on them if I want, right? But they're not steel. That's the other thing. They're not steel on the top. I can't weld on the top of them. They're alloy steel, so I can't do welding on them without. They might be stainless. I'm not sure what alloy they are. I hope they're not galvanized, but they don't look like they're galvanized. They're called alloy steel. So whatever it is, I'd have to have the right welding rods for welding on that. So I'm not going to try to weld on it. But there's probably some regular steel on it as well. I'm pretty sure there is. And that, I'd have to scrape the paint off it, but I could weld on that. So parts of this table are made of plastic, which is not good. But I think that was, even the guy that gave the review, he gave the pros and cons, and he mentioned the holes being the wrong size. That guy, he mentioned the plastic being kind of a bad thing, or one of the cons. So these plastic corners, which are not really in contact with your work, but it better be good plastic. That's all I can say. But it has good reviews, so you can get very good quality plastic. Maybe it's phenolic or something. I don't know what it is, right? But or something really strong. Right? But I just go by the reviews. That's the only thing you can go by is the reviews. You know, you see the reviews and you say, is it any good according to the reviews or not? Like, that's the only thing you have. And if the worst review is something that's acceptable. The biggest thing is these holes. But because there are so many good things about the table, maybe it's possible that I can find a solution to these the holes being the wrong size. Maybe I'll find clamps that have the right size plungers on them so that I can, you know, they'll fit in the holes. But I'm not holding any hope out for that. I'm just saying I can't do it by my own power, but maybe I could find it. That's got to do with Jehovah. If Jehovah's willing, I can find these things. It's only Jehovah that can determine whether somebody's built the right size clamp plungers or the spacers to put in the holes or whatever. Maybe somebody's already built those. But they'd have to be inexpensive too, right? Or I wouldn't be interested. So that's the other thing. It has to be inexpensive. So only Jehovah can make all these things come together and then say, oh, it's also going to cost you very little money. Only Jehovah can do that. And I generally am not going to buy something unless I'm really committed. So I had to get, I was and am really committed to these tables, to these benches, because they fold up into this 8-inch thickness that then I can then put it in the corner, lean it against the wall, or, you know, it's just going to be out of my way. I can put it anywhere. So when I'm not welding or plasma cutting, I don't need these tables. They just go away. That's what I needed. And that was what none of the other products could provide, but it took me a long time to come to that conclusion. And maybe There's always a better answer, usually. You just don't see it at the time. But it's hard for me to visualize a better answer to this because these have handles. These tables even have a handle. If you fold them up, they have a handle on them. You can carry them with a handle, like a suitcase. You go, so it's portable. You have one in each hand, you know, off you go. Or one, just carry one of them to go. I can bring one outside and weld outside or do plasma cutting outside with one of these tables or whatever. You know, it's, or with two of them, you know. It's amazing. I mean, it's potentially useful. They're potentially useful. But they also have all these great reviews. Glowing reviews, or, you know, like 80%, 5 stars or some nonsense like that. Or it's, yeah, I think it is 80%. Is that correct? That's nuts. Even 70-some% plus the 4 stars. If the 4 and 5 stars together are 80-some%, that's good, right? But if they're 90%, that's really good. I don't know what that particular thing is. Let's see. Maybe I can find out quickly. Order? DeWalt. Reviews? Maybe. Wow! 82% 5 stars. 1% 1 star. 93% 4 and 5 star combined. 97% 3, 4, and 5 star. So it's almost the best rated product on Amazon, literally. Like, there's nothing that's that highly rated on Amazon. So that tells me, and 1% 1 star means, well, that's just the lowest 1 star rating I've ever seen on a product. How many ratings was that? You know, 219 ratings. 219 ratings came up with 82% 5 stars. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, that's, I know from all my other, you know, comparison shopping that is the best product on Amazon as far as ratings goes. Nothing is better than that. All the ratings from 5 through 1 star being the way they are on that product with 1% 1 star, I've never seen a product with as good ratings as that. So that's what it took to get me to buy two of those and spend $1,000 on two welding tables. That's what it took. They're not only welding, like I said, they're just these, they're 18 inch wide by 46 inches long workbenches. That's what they are. You can use them for anything. It's not even for welding if you don't want plasma cutting welding, but anything else as well they can be used for. Right? And they're alloy steel on the top of them. It's got to be useful when I don't want to use a soft surface like a wood surface. I've got these workbenches. I can put two of them together, but they're not going to be flat, not going to be touching unless I stagger the legs. You know, they're not going to be rectangular. I don't know yet how close I can get them together. On the side where the handle is, they won't come together. So I have to put them opposite side with the handle so that they, because the handles are right on the side of them. Handles would prevent them coming together. I guess I could even, if I needed to remove the handles, I could remove the handles maybe, but that was not, it's not something I would need to do probably. You can put them end to end too, like end to end. That's like a 92 inch long workbench with a gap in the middle even longer, but 92 by 18. So that's kind of like my workbench almost in length. I think my workbench is about 8 feet long. So it's like an extension to my workbench. It could be an extension to my workbench, which would be lower than my workbench, and it could be at the front of my workbench. So there's ideas there. I mean, it's got the potential. And they can be folded up and put away. So everything about those benches, it's just $900. That's the thing. It's hard to swallow, right? For any purchase, really. But, I mean, for something where I was looking at $200 workbench. I don't know. As far as boots go, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'd easily pay $1,000 for a pair of boots once I could get the belief that it was going to be forever. These boots were, you know, But yeah, like I said, I don't like steel toes. I don't like steel toes. That's the problem. I'm not sure if they even make boots that are not steel toes. Maybe they do. I did look at their website, but I didn't look at all their products. I'm talking about Viberg. Viberg. It's a Canadian company. That's a great thing, right? It makes boots, and they make boots with really good quality, or they put a lot of steps in. There's a lot of production steps in the production, you know. That's why they cost so much. But it's really not that much money when you consider you're protecting your feet. It's not much money. You know, I realize that. I mean, why would you pay? Like, I paid $200 for a pair of underwear. It's been shipped. So I'm just thinking, you know, so obviously, you know, why wouldn't you pay $1,000 for a pair of shoes? Easily, I could see it, but I've never done it. That's the thing. So it's a lot of money from my viewpoint. But I can understand it. It's not a big problem. It's not a big problem. It's just that a lot of people are not going to be able to understand $1,000 for a pair of boots, or they can't afford it. Anyway, Psalm 24 of David, a melody. Father in heaven, will you direct us now in studying your word, your inspired word? In Jesus' name, we ask this. Amen. To Jehovah belong the earth and that which fills it, the productive land and those dwelling in it. For upon the seas he himself has solidly fixed it, and upon the rivers he keeps it firmly established. Who may ascend into the mountain of Jehovah, and who may rise up in his holy place? Anyone innocent in his hands and clean in heart, who has not carried my soul to sheer worthlessness, nor taken an oath deceitfully. He will carry away blessing from Jehovah and righteousness from his God of salvation. This is the generation of those seeking him, of those searching for your face, O God of Jacob, Selah. Raise your heads, O you gates, and raise yourselves up, O you long-lasting entrances, that the glorious King may come in. Who then is this glorious King? Jehovah, strong and mighty. Jehovah, mighty in battle. Raise your heads, O you gates. Yes, raise them up, O you long-lasting entrances, that the glorious King may come in. Who then is he, this glorious King? Jehovah of armies. He is the glorious King, Selah. That's Psalm 24. I love that it says, in verse 5, he will carry away blessing from Jehovah and righteousness from his God of salvation. It's like an option. Oh, good, my package just arrived. I'm going to go pick it up from the door. Okay. It's a different package from the one at the post office. Package just came to the door. A guy knocked on the door. That was the knock at the door. It's going to be good here, I think. Maybe. I mean, it's something that is... I've got so many packages on order, I can't remember what this is. I knew what it was yesterday. What is... Okay, so... One thing it is... It's German. Corner clamp. Oh yeah, it's a corner clamp. Yeah, that's a corner clamp. That's a great little thing. It's Now, maybe I'll show you that. I don't know if we can get into that today. These are the magnets, probably. These are magnets. They're heavy. These are magnetic clamps for welding. The corner clamp for welding is just so you can clamp two pieces of wood at a right angle to each other. The welding, the other welding clamps are the magnetic clamps. I bought a loofah and a back strap that you can use to clean your back. It's a loofah sponge, but it's the back strap. I didn't have any back scratching or back brush for. I don't know what happened to the brush we used to clean our backs with, but it's gone, so I don't know where it went. So I ordered something to clean my back with, and also some sponge, a loofah sponge, and then there's some other sponges I got. These are exfoliating sponges for removing my skin off my legs. That's what I got that for. This knife can sit down there. This is Himalayan salt scrub. That's for scrubbing the skin. That's the cashews, raw cashews, organic. Well, I had a bigger bag than this. Maybe it's the same amount, though. But I had it seemed to me it was much bigger. This is the wrong size for cashews. I think that's the wrong size. I don't like it. If it's the wrong size, I don't. There's my watch strap. It's a watch strap. A lot of things came. This is my nut butter, almond butter. And finally, leather spats for the boots. Boots. They're two colors, orange and white. Leather boot spats. We're not going to get into that's all. That's all there was here. We're not going to get into this anymore right now because we've got in the middle of a video here. Doing something else, but I need to check the cashews. I need to check that right away. No, it was 1 kilogram. A kilogram. Well, anyway, I don't understand why it was okay. Gonna have to move this stuff away temporarily here out of my way. Okay, so let me see what that order is. Let's see. Orders. Let's see if we can find it. Here it is. No, that's one of the orders. There it is. Okay, cashews. I ordered it, right? I purchased two times, it says. But that's wrong. That is wrong. I purchased a kilogram the first time. Now, maybe that wasn't what I did. I don't think I've ever... I'm almost certain I've never ordered cashews any other place. But this is wrong, because I didn't order this small bag. I ordered I got a kilogram, like more than a kilogram. It's 1.13 kilograms. It was a large bag, way bigger than this. Let me put this back in the box. Good, okay. Yeah, it was just something wrong about that, right? It's like, you know you're going to get, or you're always thinking, you're ordering mail order, you're always thinking you might get a bad deal at some point, maybe, but Amazon is so great. Normally, they're absolutely great. What's that? But it's only $11, right? What did I pay the last time? It wouldn't be $11 a kilogram for cashews, so I don't think it's a bad price for 340 grams. It's almost a pound. For $11 of cashews, it's actually a great price. It's just not the right size bag. It's not what I thought I was getting. That's all. But it's actually I knew it was a great price. I mean, $11 for cashews, organic, raw, whole. I mean, it's a great price. But it's so strange that I have a different bag. And they don't have a different option here. And normally, if it's a different option, it'll say, you know, you purchased another version of this item. Like, it won't say you purchased this item, but it says I purchased this item. Okay, I'll look at the, okay. But that's when I last purchased it? Right. Let me look up cashews in my orders. Orders, my orders. Okay, I go to orders, I can go search orders, cashews. C-A-S-H-E-W. There, see what we get. There it is. Okay, well, it's telling me. Oh, okay. Well, it's telling me I did order this bag before. Okay. The same size and everything. It even shows me that in the order record. Like, if I look up order details, there it is, 340 grams with these other things I ordered, coconut chips. So I must have eaten that bag and bought the other bag somewhere else, I guess. That's what happened. So that's I was wrong. See, that happens. Memories. The memory plays tricks, I guess. I think that's what is going on with that. Anyway, we did Psalm. And the thing is, I was saying, who may ascend into the mountain of Jehovah? Anyone innocent and so on. He will carry away blessing from Jehovah and righteousness from his God of salvation. It's like there's an option. Blessing from Jehovah and righteousness from his God of salvation. It's almost making you wonder, are there two gods, Jehovah and this person's God of salvation? Are they two different gods? And obviously, we who believe in Jehovah know that Jehovah is the God of salvation. So it's not saying two different gods, but it's like an option. You have an option if you don't believe in Jehovah as the God of salvation. Then you have the option for your God of salvation as well. It's like there's an option built in. Only Jehovah's word can provide such amazing flexibility. Like, it's flexibility built into the psalm, built into the word of God. Righteousness from his God of salvation. And it doesn't say what the name of the God of salvation is. It could be Jesus, because he's a God too. Now he is, as the resurrected Jesus, he's a God. Right? And he was a God before he came to earth. He was a human on earth. He's a God in heaven now. So Jesus is a God of salvation too. So there's some other things that we can get from it. Raise yourselves up, O you long-lasting entrances, that the glorious King may come in. Who is this glorious King? Jehovah, strong and mighty. Jehovah, mighty in battle. He's the God of armies, importantly, right? The hosts of the angels, the armies of spiritual warfare. Next, Isaiah. Chapter 4. Very short. Oh, it's beautiful, short and sweet. And seven women will actually grab hold of one man in that day, saying, we shall eat our own bread and wear our own mantles. Only may we be called by your name to take away our reproach. End quote. In that day, what Jehovah makes sprout will come to be for decoration and for glory. And the fruitage of the land will be something to be proud of and something beautiful for those of Israel who have escaped. And it must occur that the ones remaining in Zion and the ones left over in Jerusalem will be said to be holy to him, everyone written down for life in Jerusalem. When Jehovah will have washed away the excrement of the daughters of Zion, and he will rinse away even the bloodshed of Jerusalem from within her by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning down. Jehovah will also certainly create over every established place of Mount Zion and over her convention place a cloud by day and a smoke and the brightness of a flaming fire by night. Because over all the glory there will be a shelter. And there will come to be a booth for shade by night, by day rather, from the dry heat, and for a refuge and for a hiding place from the rainstorm and from the precipitation. End of that. Isaiah chapter 4. That was hot. my heater is hot there. This is amazing. I haven't really read this psalm very many times. Over her convention place, a cloud by day and a smoke and the brightness of a flaming fire by night. Just like in the days of Moses when the column of fire and fire by day and smoke at night, this column of fire by day and a column of smoke at night, it was smoke by day and fire at night because they could see by the fire. So it was smoke during the daytime, a column of smoke that followed the led the Israelites, actually, didn't follow them. It led them through the wilderness. And this column of fire at night led them through the wilderness, or stood by their camp at night. It was fire or smoke in the daytime, fire at night. Cloud by day. And a smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night, right? Just the same thing is going to be created over every established place of Mount Zion. Jehovah will create this, it says. Because over all the glory, there will be a shelter. It's just a prophecy of some, it's fascinating to me. And there will come to be a booth for a shade by day from the dry heat, and for a refuge and for a hiding place from the rainstorm and from the precipitation. Didn't read that very well the first time. We shall eat our own bread, these seven women said, and we shall wear our own mantles. Only may we be called by your name to take away our reproach. These seven women grabbing hold of one man. That's Isaiah chapter 4. Now, let's go to John chapter 4. When now the Lord became aware that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although indeed Jesus himself did no baptizing, but his disciples did, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, but it was necessary for him to go through Samaria. Accordingly, he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to Joseph his son. In fact, Jacob's fountain was there. Now Jesus, tired out from the journey, was sitting at the fountain, just as he was. The hour was about the sixth. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone off into the city to buy foodstuffs. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, despite being a Jew, ask me for a drink when I am a Samaritan woman?" For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. In answer, Jesus said to her, "If you had known the free gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have not even a bucket for drawing water, and the well is deep. From what source, therefore, do you have this living water? You are not greater than our forefather Jacob, who gave us the well, and who himself, together with his sons and his cattle, drank out of it, are you?" In answer, Jesus said to her, "Everyone drinking from this water will get thirsty again. Whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty at all. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water bubbling up to impart everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may neither thirst nor keep coming over to this place to draw water." He said to her, "Go, call your husband and come to this place." In answer, the woman said, "I do not have a husband." Jesus said to her, "You said, 'Well, a husband I do not have, for you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. This you have said truthfully.' The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our forefathers worshipped in this mountain, but you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where persons ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you people worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, because salvation originates with the Jews. Nevertheless, the hour is coming, and it is now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father with spirit and truth. For indeed the Father is looking for such like ones to worship him. God is a spirit, and those worshiping him must worship with spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. Whenever that one arrives, he will declare all things to us openly. Jesus said to her, I who am speaking to you am he. Now at this point, his disciples arrived, and they began to wonder, because he was speaking with a woman. Of course, no one said, what are you looking for? Or why do you talk to her? The woman therefore left her water jar and went off into the city and told the men, come here, see a man that told me all the things I did. This is not perhaps the Christ, is it? They went out of the city and began coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples began saying to one another, no one has brought him anything to eat, has he? Jesus said to them, my food is for me to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months before the harvest comes? Look, I say to you, lift up your eyes and view the fields, that they are white for harvesting. Already the reaper is receiving wages and gathering fruit for everlasting life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. In this respect, indeed, the saying is true. One is the sower, and another the reaper. I dispatched you to reap what you have spent no labor on. Others have labored, and you have entered into the benefit of their labor. Now many of the Samaritans out of that city put faith in him on account of the word of the woman who said in witness, he told me all the things I did. Therefore, when the Samaritans came to him, they began asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Consequently, many more believed on account of what he said, and they began to say to the woman, we do not believe any longer on account of your talk, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is for a certainty the Savior of the world. After the 2 days, he left there for Galilee. Jesus himself, however, bore witness that in his own homeland a prophet has no honor. When, therefore, he arrived in Galilee, Galileans received him, because they had seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the festival, for they also had gone to the festival. Accordingly, he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. Now there was a certain attendant of the king, whose son was sick in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went off to him and began asking him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of dying. However, Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The attendant of the king said to him, Lord, come down before my young child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went his way. But already while he was on his way down, his slaves met him to say that his boy was living. Therefore he began to inquire of them the hour in which he got better in health. Accordingly they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Therefore the father knew it was in the very hour that Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he and his whole household believed. Again, this was the second sign Jesus performed when he came out of Judea into Galilee. Wow. So there was a miracle that had evidence of being real, because the father was able to ascertain the exact time within an hour, the hour at which this healing had occurred to his son, and it was the very time when Jesus had told him that his son was in fact healed. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. But there are many interesting things here, where he also told the Samaritan woman all about her love interests that she'd had, and described them in a way that she said was completely accurate. You know, I mean, amazing, amazing miracle there as well. I mean, plus the fact that he was even speaking to a woman. It made the disciples wonder, why would he speak to a woman in Samaria? Like, what was going on with that? Like, they didn't understand that. But he didn't view the woman as, you know, special or different just because she was a woman. He didn't view her as, what do we call that? What do you say? She wasn't unapproachable just because she was a woman or whatever, you know. She wasn't somebody that he could just had to ignore or anything like that. So this is amazing. Yesterday we talked about what has been born from the flesh is flesh, what is born from the spirit is spirit, Jesus said with regard to being born again. But he was talking about being born from the flesh, and also being you must be born from water and spirit. So we know that when a woman gives birth, she has water, and the water breaks, and then she gives birth. So the child that's born is born from water. But when you're born again, you're baptized with Holy Spirit, and that is something that is your rebirth by spirit, right? Although they did water baptizing, right? We know that. But Jesus did no water baptizing himself. His disciples did. And John did water baptizing before Jesus' disciples started to do that as well. But their baptism was not the same as the baptism of John. It was a baptism of Jesus. It was John's baptism was preparing people for the... It's interesting. The baptism of Jesus was already underway here. The baptism done in the name of Jesus was already underway. Oh. Although it's not clear how it could have been. There's no, you know... I mean... There was no ransom yet that had been provided. Jesus hadn't been crucified yet. How could they be baptizing, or what was the basis of their baptism that they were performing? It doesn't say exactly. It may have been similar to the baptism that John was performing, the preparation to get ready for Jehovah, a prepared people, so that when the ransom was provided, they would be ready. That's interesting. It's very interesting. I'd never really thought about that to that extent before. What was the baptism? In chapter 3. See, some people would say, well, you have to be born from water, in the baptism being the water, but that's not a birth from water, baptism. It's symbolic of that. It's not, you're not being born, because it says in verse 6, in chapter 3, verse 6 of John, what has been born from the flesh is flesh. It's talking about flesh, being born from the flesh of a woman, of being born is what it's talking about, the literal birth of a person, because he cannot enter the womb of his mother a second time, he says in verse 4. Nicodemus asked, right? And then Jesus answered, what has been born from the flesh is flesh. Obviously, he's talking about the literal birth, not about water baptism. But then later on, Jesus spent some time with his disciples and did baptizing, it says, in verse 22. But then in chapter 4 of John, verse 2, Jesus himself did no baptizing, but his disciples did. Maybe it's a seeming contradiction there. Jesus did baptizing with them in the sense that he was with them when they did baptizing, but he didn't baptize them. He didn't baptize people himself, interestingly. So that's our study for today, little children. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you're doing well. I hope everything is going well. I hope you're staying free from the world. But you know what? A lot of it is, there's a lot of demon possession is what's going on. The demons get into people's hearts and minds and they affect people. It influences people. Especially now that the demons have been cast down with the devil from heaven and are occupying the area in the earth, you know, that they don't have a place in heaven anymore. They're still in the heavenly places in the sense that they're spiritual, they're not physical, but they're affecting motivations of people and making people do bad things or influencing, trying to influence people to do bad things. That's what the demons are like. That's why, you know, Jesus said to demon-possessed people, like the man who had a legion of demons, he said, come out of him, to the demons. He told the demons to come out of the man. And when they came out of the man had peace, and he was finally at peace. Let's see if I can search for that. Okay. Go search for the word legion. Right. Right. He gave permission to the demons to enter the swine. Okay, let me look up the word come out of him. See if I find it. See if that's there somewhere. Oh, you know what I want to do? I know what I want to do here. I want to search for those exact words and quotes in my Bible research program, NWTIN, which is, oops, what happened? Bible only. There we go. So if I search for the words in quotes, come out of him, I will possibly find this in this program because it could search for direct quotes. It processes. It found one. A demon came out of the man. Luke 4 and 35, Jesus said, be silent and come out of him. So that's what Jesus would typically do. Possibly it's that's a typical example, but that's what Jesus did in this case with the demon. He said, come out of him, and the demon came out. So that's not the same man that I was mentioning there about legion. But when I go back here, Mark 5 and 9 also, my name is Legion, right? Yeah, he permitted them to go into the swine. It's very strange. Jesus didn't actually say come out of him. He may have though. It doesn't say that he did. There it is. Here's another example. Right. Mark 5 and 15 mentions the man again, but legion. Well, I don't feel like we have time to research that right now in detail anymore today, but what was I going to do today? Oh yeah, I've got to go get my package. I haven't eaten or anything yet. But I'm really glad we did this study of John 4 today because it was such a nice... Remember, seven women in Isaiah 4 would grab hold of one man, and here there's a woman, in the only woman in the Gospels, really, is this Samaritan woman. The only woman of... who was not one of Jesus' disciples who's mentioned, you know, in the Gospels is this Samaritan woman. This is, well, I shouldn't say the only woman, but the only one with whom Jesus spoke so willingly, like had a, and witnessed to her, like the only woman like that. There was a Phoenician woman whose daughter Jesus healed. That was, but she was asking him, and she kept persisting. He didn't he didn't actually want to help her because she wasn't of the children of Israel, and he was sent only to the children of Israel, he said, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, right? In this case, though, he needed a drink of water, so he ended up talking to the Samaritan woman because he needed a drink of water, so he started talking to her, and it just was an incidental witness that he gave. You could call it that. But it's fascinating because, yeah, we give incidental. We do incidental witnessing. We don't have to go door to door to do witnessing. We can do, you know, what's the word? Much incidental witnessing. We can do witnessing everywhere we go. Like, we can witness just by talking to people and then whatever comes up. In this case, it was he said, go call your husband, right? Call your husband, he said. But she said, I do not have a husband. She didn't have to tell him that. But then just the conversation developed from that, right? But it's fascinating. But no, but even before that, he was talking about everlasting life. Because there was water, they were talking about water. So even this, the water and spirit, born from water and spirit, here's the water again, right? Living water, he said he would give her. He would have given her living water if she'd asked him, but she didn't ask him. But he had asked her for literal water, right? It's amazing. But he just happened to witness to her. Because she questioned him. Why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan woman. You're a Jew. The Jews had no dealings with Samaritans, it says. So, I mean, why would he even talk to her, she thought. She asked him, right? I mean, why? And he says, well, you know, maybe because I can give you everlasting life, you know, or something along those lines. It just led him naturally into the incidental witness that he could give. So whatever witness we can give, you know, we might find opportunity in just the incidental conversations we have with people wherever we go. And that's a big part of our ministry. It's a giant, gigantic part of our ministry if we have dealings with people. If we are like I am, which is like a shut-in, I'm kind of indoors all the time. I'm indoors a lot because I'm doing a lot of research on the internet. Shopping is a huge thing for me because if I don't get the things bought that I need, you know, they don't get bought. I don't have the things I need, etc. Nothing happens. In other words, my life is in standstill. If I don't get things done at a standstill, it comes to a standstill, as we say. It will not move forward without shopping. So I do that, and without online shopping either nowadays, just because that's the way of the world nowadays, is online shopping. Not because I don't want to go out and shop, just because I love outdoor shopping too. If I had a good car too, I would just, I love it, but it's not efficient enough. It's not, you can spend too many hours driving and not enough hours shopping. Whereas online, the hours spent are shop, it's hours spent shopping. It's if you know how to do a search and you know how to do interpretation of your results of searches, if you know how to cross compare prices and quality, you're cross comparing all the prices and quality of everything, and you're understanding or trying to learn, researching it on the side to find out what it all means, you can achieve a great deal with shopping. But it can take many, many hours even so to do shopping online. So Jesus, in a sense, was just going to the well to get some water, kind of like us going to the grocery to get some food or whatever, but, you know, that sort of thing. The same kind of thing. But it's amazing how many opportunities we get if and when we do go out. Like, grocery shopping is I get a lot of opportunities to talk to people there. But I don't, it's not like I, you know, you don't have to approach people and say, I want to talk to you, you know. It's just that it just happens because you're there. And sometimes you want to talk to somebody because they're there and you just feel like you want to say something to them. So you start a conversation about whatever, maybe about the produce or that's in the store, or you start talking about, or maybe something about vitamins that you happen to know, or something about anything that you know that you want to share with somebody, you can talk to people about that. But it might get into, sometimes it does get into spiritual things, because spiritual things have more power than physical things. They have the power to change lives, you know, literally change everything, your attitude, your beliefs, your life, spiritual things. Love is the most spiritual thing that there is, you know. I mean, that's the most powerful force, but a spirit is a force, like a wind, right? That's what it is compared to. What time is it here? Okay, it's time to quit. We're exactly on time. I can't believe it. Ward Green, October 24th. I love you very much. It's October 24th, 2022, 15:13 hours. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. Welcome. Bye for now.